What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you, and we're going to continue our tour around the swag. We're going to hop in the ride and take a trip to H-Town and visit the Texas Southern Tigers. We're almost done with our fall season previews because around the corner, the MEAC Swag Challenge is August 28th, so the season is right around the corner. Everybody else starts on September 4th and 5th. I think Valley got a Thursday night game. So it's right around the corner. So we are going to try to go ahead and wrap these things up. So we're going to dip on over to H-Town and check out the Tigers and see what they got going on. So before we do all of that, you can check out the socials, facebook.com/swagtalk, instagram.com/swagtalk, swagtalk76@gmail.com is the email address. You can check out Swag Talk on YouTube. That's Swag Talk Show. You can go ahead and subscribe to that. Like the video, share them, hit that notification bell so you can be alerted to any content that I upload. Tomorrow, another edition of Swag Smoke coming with me and my homie DJ. Sunday, like I said before, UAPB preview. Next Wednesday, we're going to go ahead and preview the MEAC Swag Challenge, and then we get ready for the season. So, you know, not much time left. We're getting down and dirty, and we're gonna go ahead and talk about these Tigers of Texas Southern. Their spring obviously was not that eventful. They only played two games in the season, so not a lot to take away from it. Again, this team was 0-11. In 2019, they did pick up a victory, over Alcorn, but no on the field wins yet. They averaged 21 points a game exactly. They allowed 35 in the spring. They had 139 yards rushing in two games with two touchdowns, averaged 3.4 yards per carry. Defensively, they allowed 164 yards rushing per game, 4.3 yards per carry. Passing, they were 44-68, three touchdowns, two interceptions, 229 yards per game. Defensively, the opponents 34-61, four touchdowns, three interceptions, 217 yards per game, giving the Tigers an offensive output of 368.5 yards per game and 4.9 yards per play. Defensively, 382 yards per game, 5.8 yards per play. Texas Southern was 11 of 32 on third down for 34%. They were 3 of 4 on fourth down for 75%. The opponents 8 of 24 for 33% and 2 of 4 on fourth down for 50%. Texas Southern fumbled three times on the season as far as lost fumbles, giving them 5 turnovers on the season. The opponents, no fumbles lost. They only fumbled the ball once, didn't lose it, giving them a total of 3 turnovers. So Texas Southern was -2 in turnovers. Perfect in the 6 of 8 in the red zone, 4 of 6 for touchdowns. Opponents were actually perfect in the red zone at 8 for 8. 6 of those 8 were touchdowns. So, I mean, when you really look at these numbers in a small sample size, the defense actually did play better than they did in 2019, because 2019 they really couldn't stop anybody until probably late portions of the year. So they actually got better on defense, obviously a small sample size. Two games with two totally different outcomes, but I thought they held up well in both games, actually. They had a chance to win against Prairie View. Didn't get it done, but they were in the game, actually had the game won and ended up losing. And they fought hard against Southern for about 2.5 quarters before they got worn down. So, you know, not a lot to really take away from this. But for a team that's still kind of young and still learning, the spring did, to me, exactly what it needed to do. It gave them some live action and an opportunity to figure out who they are and play a couple games and just learn and grow. Ladarius Owens was the leading rusher. He had 155 yards, 5.2 yards per carry, one touchdown. Ja'Cory Howard, 108 yards, 4.5 yards per carry, also one touchdown. passing. Jaylen Brown came from out of nowhere. Both Thaddeus Payton and Devin Williams were hurt. And after the Prairie View game, Brown came in, went 21-37 against Southern, one touchdown, one interception, 281 yards. So you figure the sky's the limit for a guy like that. He's young, he's big, he has a really good arm. And, you know, I think he's going to be able to develop and grow as long as, you know, this team can stay together and develop together. Keelan Davis was the leading receiver. He had seven catches for 132 yards, one touchdown. Osby Mitchell, seven catches, 93 yards, one touchdown. Jyron Johnson, nine catches, 81 yards, no touchdowns. Jonathan Giles, six catches, 49 yards, one touchdown. Expect to see more out of him this fall. He's a guy who really, you know, has a lot to prove, honestly. So, you know, he did really well at Texas Tech. LSU was not the best. Texas Southern could be a good spot for him in a full actual season. So we'll keep our eyes on Mr. Giles. Alec Prince was the leading tackler for Texas Southern with 14 tackles. Damon Anderson, 12. Tyreek Cooper, 12. Julian Marcantel, 11. Michael Badajo, 8. Williams and Walton with 7. Tackles for loss. Cooper and Pippins each had 2 tackles for loss. 1.5 for Anderson and Badajo. Texas Southern had 12 tackles for loss as a team. The opponents had 22. So they still have a ways to go as far as playing really solid defense, especially in that front half of the defense. They still have some way to go, but they do have some pieces. Like I said before, they had the leading sack man on the season was Pippins with 1, Prince 1, Anderson 1, Badajo 1, and Williams each had 1 apiece, giving them 5 sacks on the season. The opponents had 7 sacks. Interceptions were by Williams, Walker, and Benjamin, giving them 3 on the season. Special teams, Sawyer Evans was the leading punt, was the punter. He averaged 39.8 yards per punt, along with 51. Rick Garcia, 2 of 3 on field goals. His long on the season was 38. Garcia was the kickoff man. He averaged 57.2 yards per kick. Osby Mitchell had the only punt return on the season, picked up 1 yard. Thurman Morbley was the kickoff return man, 6 returns, 154 yards. Average of 25.6 yards per return. His long of the season was 39. So, you know, Texas Southern obviously is a team that's, you know, they're trying to come up. You know, this is a rebuild. This team has been in a state of rebuild for, I think Coach McKinney can really get the most out of this team. They just weren't able to get it done. They did have a few close games in 2019, even though they went 0-11. They lost to Alabama State by 4 points. They lost to Southern by 7. And they lost to Alabama A&M in overtime by 7. But, you know, still, again, this team is trying to piece some things together. They're not quite there, but they seem to be on the right track. Like I said, offensively, I really love Jaylen Brown. I think he's a guy, he's 6'2", 230. I think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with in the SWAC if he can continue to develop. I like the running backs, Owens and Howard. Like I said, they both average over 4.5 yards per carry. Howard, 4.5. Owens, 5.2. You have guys like Keelan Davis and Jonathan Giles at wide receiver who really are guys who can make plays. King Blanchard, another guy that I like. This offense is capable if they can continue to grow and if the offensive line can provide some time for the team to develop. The thing about Texas Southern the last couple of years has not been offense. Honestly, even with a team that didn't win a game, they still were fairly solid in offense, especially the passing game. The running game improvement is definitely going to help. Defensively is where the Tigers really have to continue to grow. They were horrible on the defensive side of the ball at the beginning of 2019. Like I said, they improved in the spring in those two games. But Michael Badajoz is a guy who I really think can be a big time force on the defensive line. DeMontario Anderson is another guy who plays on the opposite defensive end side. So that's, you know, that's a couple of good pieces on your defensive line. You get Julian Marquantel back, who was injured off and on for the last couple of years on his last couple of seasons. He had almost 100 tackles in 2017. So he's a guy who can be a big time playmaker on defense. And the secondary is getting a big boost from Texas A&M transfer Derek Tucker. You can expect him to kind of slide in the I think one of those safety spots and be a guy who can really make some plays. So Texas Southern obviously is a team that's on the rise. It's hard to pick them to win games right now, but I really think they're going to be a dangerous team. You don't want to face them when they really get going. They open up their season on September 4th against Prairie View at home. I really like Texas Southern in this game. I'm picking Prairie View just because I feel like Prairie View still is a little bit more established. I think their defense is more solid. Prairie View offense and whatever issues they have right now are going to probably be the thing that keeps Texas Southern in this game. If Texas Southern can capitalize on some mistakes and Prairie View makes some, then they'll get themselves a good chance. Now, I'm almost saying this is probably a 60-40 percentage-wise for Prairie View. This is almost even to me, but I'm going to go with Prairie View just because I think that I think Prairie View is a little bit more solid. September 11th, they go to Baylor. Money game, not much needs to be said there. September 25th, at Rice. Rice is not the best team. If Texas Southern was a better team, I would get them a better chance. But right now, I just don't see it. Texas, you know, Rice may, you know, fumble and stumble around and Texas Southern may be able to stand a game, but it's probably going to be a game where they just get beat. So not a lot to take from that game either. October 2nd, they host North American University for homecoming. This should be their first on-field win. A team like this, like I said, I'm not trying to pick on Texas Southern when I do this, but I have no clue who these guys are. I'm gonna learn who they are by the time that this game comes up because I joke about it, but I don't really like sitting there saying I don't know something about a team. So, you know, I'll figure out who they are, what they do, but I think this will be Texas Southern's first on-the-field win since 2018. So that's a good thing, giving them some momentum going into the Arlington Football Showdown against Southern. Last 2 years, well, 2018, 2019, Southern won this contest by a combined 21 points. So these have been close games, and this is another opportunity for Texas Southern to hang around. I think that Southern will win it. I think Southern's a deeper team. I don't think it's going to be so much closer to what the spring was, but I do think it's going to be, you know, a 10 to 14 point margin if Texas Southern can show up and play and force Southern to make some turnovers and get themselves the opportunity to take advantage of those. October 16th, they go to Grambling. This right now is one of the games I think that they have a good shot at winning, but I think Grambling will survive and find a way to win. And, you know, I obviously just looking at the schedule, there's not a lot of, you know, gimmies. So if they're going to beat somebody, they're going to have to upset somebody because, and I'm going to get to it in a minute, but their draw from the East is not nice. October 23rd, they host Alcorn. Not a lot to say. Alcorn should be playing Alcorn football by this point. I think they'll have enough to take care of Texas Southern. Texas Southern may be able to make a game out of it for a while, but I think Alcorn will take care of business. October 30th, they host Arkansas Pine Bluff. this game, you know, can be deceptive. There's been a couple games in this series where Texas Southern was close. I think one of the last games was like a 15-12 game. So they can play in this game, but Pine Bluff's an enigma. I think they're going to be good. Some people think they're not. Texas Southern, if they're going to get a game, they're going to have to beat somebody on their schedule that's better than them. This could be a game. I'm still hesitant to pick it because I just, you know, I think Pine Bluff's a little bit too strong. November 6th, they go to Jackson to take on Jackson State. Again, this is a tough slate. This game probably won't be close if Jackson's playing the way a lot of people think they should be playing. Not close at all. November 13th, they come home and close out their home slate against Alabama A&M. Again, another tough matchup. Stop me if you heard me say this. Another tough matchup for the Tigers. A&M's offense is explosive. The defense, if they can be, they can just be solid, they'll take care of business and get a W. You can't write off Texas Southern in this kind of matchup because 2019, this was a 7-point overtime game, so you always have to account for that, although I don't think it's going to be that kind of game. November 20th at Alabama State. This is a tough matchup. Alabama State's defense is predicated to stopping the run, so they'll probably give Texas Southern's offense some trouble, especially on the ground game. If Texas Southern has to be one-dimensional, then they're going to struggle. Defensively, I don't know if they can slow down Ezra Gray and Ja'Cory Merritt. Even Ryan Nettles, even though they don't have their big play guy, Michael Jefferson, anymore, they're looking to build some guys at their spot. So this is a tough game. It's a road game, the last game of the season. These games are always hard to pick because you don't know what the mental state of a team is. This is a tough slate. So I think they'll drop that game as well. And looking at just running down the schedule game by game, right now I see one certain win. And I think that's their floor is 1-10. If they can steal a couple games, I see maybe two or three games that they could steal. If they can steal a couple games, then that gives them, I'll say, four wins at best. But that's going to take some stealing. Now, if they beat Prairie View early, then, you know, that means that things can turn around, you know, a little bit more. I don't see a winning season with this schedule right now because this schedule is very, very tough. Prairie View is no pushover, even though they have some offensive problems. And that's a rivalry game, so that's going to, you know, be knock down, drag out. Then you have two FBS games, so you're kind of already looking at an 0-2 spot right there. Depending on how the Prairie View game goes, you could be 0-3 coming out of that. You have the North American game, and then you get into swag play with Southern, a Grambling team who may be beatable, may not be. Right now, I think they are beatable. Alcorn, Pine Bluff, Jackson, Alabama A&M, and Alabama State. I don't see no gimmies. And if you start from October 23rd, I'm saying Grambling's a toss-up game. So if you start from October 23rd to the end of the season on November 20th, those are all hard games, with the exception of Alabama State, who was picked fourth in the East in the preseason, but is a very capable team. You're looking at, well, Pine Bluff was picked fifth, but I don't think they're going to finish fifth by the media. I don't think they're going to finish there. But if you look at that slate, you have Alcorn, who is a perennial division winner and swag champ. You have Pine Bluff, who is the defending West Division champs. You have Jackson State, who is a potential wrecking ball. We don't really know what they are right now, but what they can be is very, very dangerous. Alabama A&M, the defending swag champs. And then an Alabama State team who can finish anywhere, but has a very, very aggressive and strong defense. So there's not a lot of wins to look at on paper in those five games. Southern's not a blowout type game. They can, you know, if Southern doesn't come to play, they can beat Southern if they don't come to play. But I think Southern will win that game. I think they might ultimately just survive. Like I said, Grambling, is probably, other than Prairie View, Grambling is probably the only other game that I can really say Texas Southern has a better than a 40% chance of winning right now. Obviously, that can change depending on the season goes. So I'm being really generous with those four wins because I'm thinking if they can beat Prairie View, they'll win that North American game. If they can beat Grambling, they may be able to steal that Alabama State game or that Pine Bluff game, depending on how those two teams are playing. Other than that, there's nothing else I can even right now on paper really just say that they have a great chance at winning. So the schedule is hard. I mean, obviously SWAC, you know, you get into SWAC play every game, you know, everybody pretty much plays the same team. So nobody's conference schedule is so much is harder than the other ones, depending on your non-divisional draw and how your schedule lays out. The non-conference slate, I do not like at all. I understand, but I don't like two FBS games at all. I think that gives you very little opportunity to develop your team in non-conference. And you need a win, so I'm not worried about that North American game. But that's a game I do not really want to see on the schedule in future years, especially if this team is trying to rise up the ranks. Because that, you know, that kind of game, yes, it gives you a dub. Yes, it gives you some stats. Yes, it gives you a great homecoming. But it doesn't really put you in position for that next week. So not a schedule that's conducive to this team winning. But it's very possible for this team to win four games if, you know, with some huge breaks. So that's going to do it for today's show. Again, we'll be back on Sunday with another edition of the SWAC Talk Fall Previews when we talk about UAPB. You can catch that on YouTube and on the podcast. And Thursday on YouTube, we'll have another edition of SWAC Smoke. So don't forget to check those out. And enjoy the rest of your day, man. I'm about to get on up out of here and kick back and chill a little bit. So y'all enjoy yourself. We out.